what happiness looks like. Lou. Though Angelica and her iron chalices had gone when we resurfaced, Beau, Celie, and Jean-Luc floated atop the inlet in a fishing boat. A fishing boat? Celie grinned with palpable excitement from the flybridge, gripping the helm with both hands. Her smile quickly fell at our grim expressions, however, and she called out, "What's wrong?" I waited until we'd climbed aboard to answer. Isla's gift was shit. We wouldn't be able to reach Caesarine before Madame Labelle burned to ash. When Coco said as much, explaining the conclave's decision, Father Achilles' involvement, and Auguste's last words, Beau patted the stern. This is her gift. Or at least this is Angelica's. It'll get us there in time. He shrugged and added, I wouldn't worry about my father. He has a flair for dramatics, but he knows what he's doing even less than we do. You didn't see him. I wrung out my hair, cursing at the cold. The strands had already started to freeze, and goose flesh steepled my entire body. He wasn't acting. He knows we'll come to rescue Madame Labelle. He plans to trap us, like he did before. I glanced around the ramshackle boat. And this won't get us to Caesarine anytime soon.
It will.
Nudging Celia aside, Beau nodded as Jean-Luc dropped the sail, and we slipped through the waters with speed.
I learned to sail when I was 3.
He arched a smug brow at Coco, adding,
The Admiral of the Royal Navy taught me himself.
Beside me, Coco rubbed her arms, and Reed clenched every muscle, refusing to shiver despite his lips turning blue. Celie hurried to fetch us blankets in the cabin below decks. But blankets wouldn't help, not really. Reluctantly, I reached for the white patterns, bracing as they shimmered into existence. I frowned at the sensation, the breadth of possibilities still startled, but after a second or two of adjustment, it felt good, like stretching after sitting too long in one position. More curious still, instead of pulling me toward Chateau Leblanc, the magic seemed to be pulling me toward... What matters now is whether you, La Dame de Sorcière, still consider this place your home. If not, it stands to reason your magic won't protect it anymore. It'll shift to your new home, whatever that is. It was too easy to pluck a cord now. A burst of hot air enveloped Reed and Coco, then me, and I watched, bemused, as the snow along the path melted. Warmth for warmth. The white pattern dissipated with it. How did you do that? Coco asked suspiciously. I melted the snow. I thought nature demanded sacrifice. Her eyes narrowed, skimming my face and body for signs of damage. How is melting snow a sacrifice? I shrugged helplessly, struggling to articulate this strange new power even to myself. Morgane had seemed limitless as La Dame des Sorcières, and, at least in this natural way, perhaps she had been. I am the snow. She blinked at me in response. They all did. Even Celie, as she returned with slightly moldy blankets. I wrapped mine around my shoulders, burrowing into its warmth. The pattern had dried us, yes, but the bitter wind still remained. I tried, and probably failed, to clarify. It's like, before, my magic felt like a connection to my ancestors. I gained my patterns through them. Now, as La Dame de Sorcière, I am them. I'm their ashes, their land, their magic. I'm the snow and the leaves and the wind. I'm boundless. It was my turn to blink, to stare. I probably sounded like a raving lunatic, but I didn't know how else to describe it. Perhaps words couldn't describe it. But Coco cleared her throat, visibly uncomfortable. You heard what happened to my aunt without checks and balances. She and her followers pushed too far. They slaughtered their coven as a result, and the goddess punished them. She punished your mother, too. The goddess gave my mother a chance to redeem herself at La Mascarade de Crène. She gave her a warning. When Morgane didn't heed it, Aurore revoked her blessing, see? There are checks and balances, and I can't... I turned my sight inward, examining the patterns there. I can't do anything unnatural with it. At least I don't think I can. I can't kill anyone or...
Death is natural.
Reed stared determinedly over the gunwale. As we hadn't yet cleared L'Eau Melancolique, the waters below didn't ripple. He clutched his blanket tighter and swallowed hard.
Everyone dies eventually.
Yes, I said slowly,
recalling Ansel's previous words. His had somehow felt comforting, like a benediction. Reed's, however, did not. They felt more like a threat. No, like a promise. I frowned again, eyes narrowing on his heavy brow, his downcast expression. For the first time since he'd lost his memories, aside from our drunken encounter, he didn't project malevolence. He didn't keep one hand on his bandolier. Death is natural, but murder is not. Shrugging, he said nothing. I fought the urge to move closer. Are you okay, Shas? Bo is right. We will reach your mother in time. He turned on his heel and stalked below decks before I could finish. The door slammed behind him. Awkward silence descended in his wake, and heat crept up my cheeks. Coco rummaged in her pack, turning her back to the frigid wind. You shouldn't need a lesson to know he wants you to go after him. She withdrew a scrap of parchment, a pot of ink, and a quill, before sinking to the boat's floor. Without ceremony, she used her knee as a table and began to pen a message. To Claude, probably. To Blaze. Unless you do need a lesson, I could teach you an excellent way to relieve stress. I know plenty of ways to relieve stress, thank you. When the wind made it impossible to keep the parchment steady, I waved a hand. It stilled for just a moment, stilling the boat as well. We'd just reached the broader expanse of sea, and waves finally broke against the helm. He wouldn't be interested in any of them. Oh, I think he's very interested. Her smirk faded as she looked up, and she tapped her quill upon the paper pointedly. What am I telling Claude? Resigned, I plopped down next to her, spreading my blanket over her as well. Across the small deck, Bo manned the helm while Celie perched atop the boat's single bench. Jean-Luc joined her.
My father might plan to trap us, Bo conceded, but we still have one thing in our favor.
He pointed to Celie and Jean-Luc in turn.
We have these two this time. He doesn't know about them. He knows I abandoned my post, Jean-Luc muttered.
Coco shook her head. But he doesn't know why. If he's learned of Celie's absence, which I doubt, knowing Tremblay, he might suspect you followed her, but no one would ever believe she'd seek us out, let alone ally with us. Not after everything that's happened. We do have the element of surprise. At the edge of my thoughts, the beginning of a plan began to take shape. I didn't look at it too closely, instead worrying a loose thread in the blanket, allowing it to form. It wouldn't solve the Morgan problem. Though in truth, problem seemed too mild a word for the picture Angelica had painted. A battle brews on the horizon more catastrophic than this world has ever seen. We couldn't focus on that now. The plan had changed. Madame Lebel would come first, and then came catastrophic battles. I tugged at the thread viciously, unraveling part of the blanket. We won't be able to slip into the city undetected. We couldn't manage it before, even when no one knew we were coming. Now they'll be expecting us.
Do I hear a but? Bo asked.
I looked up at him then. Looked up at them all. Maybe we don't need to slip in undetected. Maybe we announce our arrival. I grinned slightly, though I didn't particularly feel like grinning. Maybe we let them arrest us.
What?
Bo exclaimed. No, listen. I leaned forward, pointing again at Celie and Jean-Luc. We have an aristocrat with a death wish and a huntsman madly in love with her. A captain. He's deadly skilled and highly trained, and more importantly, he has the respect of the crown and church. If Celie struck out on a quest for vengeance against me, against Reed, against all witches, of course he would catch up with her. Of course he would incapacitate us, and of course he would bring us back to Caesarine to burn. He would even arrest the lawless crown prince in the process. They'll throw you all in prison. The wind ruffled Coco's wild curls as she considered. The same prison where they hold Madame Lebel. Exactly. Jean-Luc can relieve the guard, and I'll magic us all out.
They'll inject you with hemlock, Jean-Luc said.
Not if you've already done it. I slumped as if incapacitated to demonstrate, my head lolling on Coco's shoulder. You forget I'm an accomplished liar, and your brethren trust you.
If you escape under my watch, they'll know I've helped you. They'll strip my captaincy.
Coco, who'd been penning our plan, scratching out and writing anew as it formed, looked up with a dark expression. They'll do a lot worse than that. Slipping a knife from her cloak, she cut a fine line on her forearm, positioning the cut over the paper. With each drop, the paper sizzled and vanished. To me, she said, I asked Claude, and I assume Xena and Seraphine, to find Blaze and meet us at Leviathan afterward. If they manage to heal Toulouse, Lyanna, and Terence, they'll be able to heal Madame Labelle. When Jean-Luc said nothing, Celie scooted closer, threading her fingers through his. It's the right thing to do, Jean. Chasseurs are meant to protect the innocent. Madame Labelle has done nothing but love her son. If not for her sacrifice, the king would have tortured Reed instead.
Also, Beau said, pursing his lips, not to be that person, but your captaincy won't matter after Morgan kills everyone.
He has a point, Coco said. Jean-Luc closed his eyes, his face tight and strained. Overhead, gulls cried in the filtered sunlight, and to starboard, waves crashed upon the distant shore. Though I didn't know Jean-Luc, he still wore his emotions like he wore his coat, a coat he'd worked hard to receive, harder than most. And all that hard work, all that pain, all that envy, all that spite, it'd be for nothing if he helped us now. In doing the right thing, he'd lose everything. No, I didn't know Jean-Luc, but I understood him better than most. After another moment, he dipped his chin in assent, in sorrow.
Of course. Just tell me what to do.
Thank you, Jean, Celie said, pressing a kiss upon his cheek. The last of the parchment vanished with Coco's blood, and the message was sent. Instead of relief, however, fresh dread crept through me, fresh dread and stale anger. The latter simmered just beneath my skin as I stared at the cabin door. Jean-Luc would help us, yes, and Claude and Blaze would too. We had a dragon on our side, as well as an original witch. Melusine and Loup-Garou. A goddess had gifted me the magic of La Dame des Sorcières, so I could change shape, could alter the very fabric of nature with the wave of my hand. Morgane didn't know I existed, and Auguste didn't know of our plan. Never before had we enjoyed such elements of surprise. Indeed, never before had we been quite so prepared for what was to come. Our plan was an excellent one, the best we'd ever concocted. Except for one very tall, very obnoxious problem. My eyes could have bored holes in the door now. Following my gaze, Coco nudged my shoulder. Go talk to him.
He'll never agree.
You won't know until you try. I scoffed.
You're right. He'll probably love this plan. It'll give him a chance to act out his martyr fantasies. Hell, he'll probably want to be lashed to the stake out of self-loathing or shame or some sense of misplaced duty.
She cast me a sideways grin. That isn't what I said.
It's what you meant.
It really wasn't. Wrapping an arm around me now, she leaned close and lowered her voice. Here's your first lesson in seduction. Honesty is sexy as hell. No, not like you're thinking, she added when I scoffed again. Honesty goes beyond telling him who you used to be, who he used to be, who you used to be together. You've tried that and it hasn't worked. You need to show him, allow yourself to be vulnerable so he can be vulnerable too. That kind of honesty? That kind of honesty is intimate. It's raw. I plunked my head against the hull, sighing deeply.
You forget I'm a liar. I don't do honesty.
Her smile spread. You do with him.
He's fucking infuriating.
That he is.
I want to gouge his eyes out.
I completely agree.
I might steal his balisarda and shave his eyebrows with it.
I wish you would.
I'll be honest if you will.
Her face snapped toward mine then, confused, and I met her gaze steadily. What do you mean? She asked suspiciously. From the way her eyes flicked to Beau, however, so quick I might have missed it, she knew exactly what I meant. I pretended to ponder my words, tapping my chin with a finger.
Well, Celie told me about a certain kiss.
Those eyes narrowed in warning. Celie needs to mind her business.
It sounds like you need to mind your business, too.
I fought a grin at her abruptly murderous expression.
Come now, I thought you said honesty was sexy as hell.
She yanked her arm from my shoulders, crossing it with her other, huddling deeper within the blankets.
Don't project what you and Reed have onto Beau and me. Ours isn't a grand, sweeping romance. We aren't star-crossed lovers. We were a casual hookup, and that's all.
Coco, Coco, Coco. I bumped her shoulder this time.
Who's the liar now? I'm not lying. I thought you said honesty was raw. I thought you said it was intimate. She grimaced and looked away, clutching the locket at her chest. Too raw. Too intimate. My grin slowly faded at the hurt in her words. When was the last time you were vulnerable with anyone? I'm vulnerable with you. But I didn't count, and she knew it. I racked my memory for each of Coco's serious relationships, a witch named Fleur, Babette, and Beau himself. I didn't know if I should count Ansel. Those emotions had been serious, yes, but unrequited on both sides. Is this about Ansel? I asked tentatively. She shot me a sharp look. No! Then, well, not anymore. Her shoulders slumped and her arms fell loose at her sides. She stared at her palms in her lap. It was at first, but he visited me in the Wistful Waters, Lou. Moisture gathered in my eyes. I know. She didn't seem shocked by the revelation, her gaze instead turning inward, as if she hadn't heard me at all. He told me he wanted me to be happy. He said if Beau could do that, I shouldn't hesitate. She shook her head sadly. But I don't even know what happiness looks like. Of course you do. What I know, she continued determinedly, speaking over me, is that it isn't Beau's job to show me. It isn't anyone's job but mine. If I can't make myself happy, how can he? How can my mother or my aunt or my kin? Ah. A beat of silence pulsed between us as the pieces clicked into place. I stared, longing to wrap my arms around her tense shoulders. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, Coco had been abandoned by everyone she dared to love, except me. It was no coincidence she allowed herself to be vulnerable with just one person. Still, my heart ached when I looked to Beau, who cast covert looks in our direction every few seconds. He isn't them, I whispered. She sniffed in response. He's a prince. You're a princess. We lead two different peoples. His will need him and mine will need me. Look around, Lou. She splayed her arms wide, as if Morgan and Josephine and Auguste stood here with us now. Regardless of how this plays out in Caesarine, our kingdoms are not aligned. They never will be. We can have no future together. I arched a brow, parroting her own words. You won't know unless you try. When she glared at me, saying nothing, I took her hands. No, listen to me, Coco. If you don't want Beau, fine. I promise I won't say another word. But if you do want him, and if he wants you, the two of you will find a way. You'll make it work. Unbidden, I glanced back at the cabin door. Only you can decide what your happiness looks like. She squeezed my hands tighter, tears sparkling. I told you, Lou, I don't know what my happiness looks like. It's fine not to know. Abruptly, I pulled her to her feet, throwing my arms around her at last. Beau, Celie, and Jean-Luc ceased their murmured conversation to watch us, startled. I ignored them. I didn't care. It isn't fine to stop trying. We have to try, Coco, or we'll never find it. Coco nodded against my cheek, and her words echoed in my ears. Honesty goes beyond telling him who you used to be, who he used to be, who you used to be together. You need to show him. Again, I looked to the cabin door. The anger remained, of course, ever stale, but the dread had been replaced with steely resolve, with newfound purpose. My happiness included Reed, and I would never stop fighting for him, never stop trying. Coco followed my gaze with a small smile. Pushing me forward gently, she whispered, "Here's to finding our happiness."